Grace, mercy, and peace from our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will read this morning from Gospel according to St. Mark, from chapter 10, reading from verse 2 to end of 60. No, I'm just going to read. Please stand up. Mark chapter 10, reading from verse 2, in Jesus' name. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, testing him?" And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a bill of divorcement, and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And in the house of his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, "Whosoever shall put away his wife shall marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband, and he marry another, she committeth adultery." And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Father, these are thy words, words of truth. Sanctify us in this truth. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his name's sake. Amen. You may be seated. I kind of question myself at times that, why are you nervous? After all, you have many years in ministry. You have spoken small groups and larger groups. Why are you at time kind of nervous? But I admit that frankly to you. A part of my nervousness this morning comes perhaps from the pride. And a pride of man is such that you like to please men. And this text before us, especially the first part, is where many ministers and speakers fail. And I don't want to be accounted amongst them. I want to be true to God's word, because he speaks to us and our relationships. The people don't make the rules when it comes how man is saved. God simply has demonstrated in his Son what it takes to be saved. And then also that in obedience, in faith, we would follow him instead of just trying to be likable to men. Arm of flesh will fail us. Jesus never does. So I into this text prayerfully. And I just pray that we all would just listen as being by the feet of Jesus, who's teaching his disciples and multitudes about things of life. It is said in Ephesians that in this time of dispensation, he more or less gathers people, that things of heaven and things on earth would be united. In heaven there is no disagreement. On earth there is plenty of it. I myself question at times when I see time flying by and how things change. From what kind of homes do these people come from? Where do I come from? And I can't make any kind of a judgment unless I listen what God has to say. These are last days in the life of Jesus here on this earth. Just prior to this, he has taken his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there are three further up who witness how he was transformed. And they were told not to say anything about it. Time would come that they would speak of things that no man has seen before. He came to Galilee teaching about his days to come in Jerusalem. And his disciples did not understand what he was saying. They were confused. And so are many people when you look at life of Messiah, how he came the first time as a servant. And yet he was Lord. And he called his disciples when they went back to Capernaum, for he had discovered while they were going up there, back roundabout from Phoenicia, who had healed heathen woman's daughter. And how he revealed himself then also to disciples concerning what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. And as they came to Capernaum, he confronted his disciples, "What were you discussing on the way?" Their discussion was, "Who's the greatest?" That pride had not left them, though they had seen so many examples of a life of a servant. Things from above were brought down to earth. Things that bring peace, harmony, and unity. Where we don't serve ourselves, but we are mindful of what's happening to others and how we as persons are examples to people, young and old. What kind of a letter are people reading when they see us in life? At that time, as in our text a little bit later, speaks of children. At that time also, when he confronted his disciples about the greatness, he took a little child and used that child as an example of greatness. Much of this teaching, though we hear it oftentimes, is like water on duck's back. It simply doesn't stick. We live our lives, have our ideals. And oftentimes, we fail to see that God is speaking to us. He wants us to hear him and ask him, "Change me to your likeness." And God does, but not without us dying to self. And that is impossibility unless Jesus becomes precious unless his blood speaks of mercy and forgiveness in daily life. At this text, Jesus is taking his disciples, a multitude, of course, is following amongst them a woman, those that are serving him. They are taking the other route, what we may say, by River Jordan, not through Samaria, not the shortcut per se. But as they are entering, they are encountering these things that are in our text. And they're coming to Judah. He's confronted, as earlier, but especially now. They come to him and ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, testing him? We at times look at life of Jesus and his ministry, and we perhaps think of miracles which are supernatural, and natural man does not accept them any more than his resurrection. Well, let not one of us think that his teaching is secondary, because when he came with the words of life, they come from above, through a person who is servant. And Jesus calls those that gather by his feet that they are blessed, because faith comes from hearing what God says. And the devil does his utmost that we would not listen what the truth is. We lean on our own opinions and understanding. And the world continues as it has been. Wars and rumors of wars. In our person, in our homes, in our communities, and throughout the lands, wherever we go, there is bloodshed. Ill feelings, bad words, and suppressing the poor and the widows. This question touches the deepest, most existence of human race, the basic foundation stones, so to speak, the marriage and children. If marriage is not honored as God has established it, what will the end result be? Every man to himself. Every woman to herself. What we lose cannot be overcome by arguments by the learned people. And even in Judah, the question was, is it right for a man to put away his wife? But may we also ask, is it right for a woman to put away her husband? We know that John the Baptist lost his head because he dared to say, Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. She had taken a divorce from her husband Philip. Herod the Great also have taken divorce, married another, and then end up killing her. Ruthless. What was woman's place? And as things escalate, they bear fruit of their own kind. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, O them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. Hardness of heart. To my mind comes at this moment when Jesus healed a man's withered hand, and it was a Sabbath. and he observed the critics, and he was grieved for the hardness of their heart. Nothing is more foreign to a Christian than to say one thing and to do other. One sign amongst Christians is always the humility and brokenness, because God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. But this humbleness is not to be understood as without strength. Matter of fact, it is the strongest thing on earth, because it leans on God's word. Earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. Hardness of heart. You men, you are known as people of God. You as leaders of your homes and communities. How do you deal with your wives? For the smallest of cause, you make her as an item, disposable item. But the heavenly language from above, bringing this together, is: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Studying this word a little bit, male and female. Male is simply is, and a woman is isis. In English language, it's quite clear. You talk about man and woman. In Finnish language, it's a little bit opposite. Mies ja vaimo, tai nainen. And yet, when you look at, you can say mies ja miehetär. Now, you got a little lesson in Finnish language. But that's what the word actually says. That there's a man and a woman. Male and female. Those two come together. They are created for one another. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committed adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband, and he be married to another, she committed adultery. We live in a time today, I would say that the last month perhaps, I don't really recall, but we are witnessing opposing forces. Our sanity somehow has escaped the dilemma and conversation. We speak of men marrying men, women marrying women. We may speak in this relationship a little bit about faithfulness. But when you talk about even this monstrosity, so to speak, how much faithfulness is amongst those that make that commitment? The AIDS problem namely came because of this problem. Modern medicine and science has come to aid. Much of it is paid by taxpayers' money, that people would not die earlier. But people don't repent as you do. Faithfulness belongs to marriage. You forsake others. You are given in marriage. Martin Luther would call marriage a school of character, where love covers multitudes of transgressions or shortcomings. Love. It keeps no record, because if God does so, where would I appear? Second thing also is procreation. Two women don't produce children. Two men don't produce children. It is against the law of nature. It's insanity. Where created becomes so unhinged, he no longer knows what is up and down. It's all for self-gratification. A marriage also is holy. In God's eyes, it is to be revered. It is not an ordinary thing. You enter into it discreetly. And may I say at this point also that to be betrothed or to be engaged is already in God's eyes as marriage, but is not yet consumed. Two don't yet live together, but they have made commitment with one another for days to come. Man will ask, will you marry me? But he also includes into that proposal that my parents, grandparents, and Christian heritage and strength will approve this. I will take no advantage of you. I love you. A woman likewise. It is holy. It is very revealing that when Joseph, husband of Mary, found out Mary is expecting a child, and secretly he wanted to put her away because she was great with a child, expecting a child. And I was told to him, be not afraid to take your wife, Mary, your wife. They had not had intimacy or marriage ceremony per se, but they were engaged to be married. And the scripture speaks about it as already a binding relationship. That is not amongst those that belittle God, an order that God has put into man and woman for procreation. An awesomeness. That my life is representing in these basic structures of community existence. How man is to love his wife and a woman is to love her husband. Neither one is perfect. And because we have so oftentimes failed and looked back, I want to assure you, my listening friend, our hurts are oftentimes standing or stepping stones for something new. We learn from our mistakes, and we learn especially that God has not forsaken us. Though we so miserably fail at this holiness. But we don't want to go that way. We want to go God's way. And with Him there is forgiveness. There is this tremendous uplifting, and on His part, forgetting. He does not keep the record when it is washed away with the blood of Jesus. We read about these things, and it's according to our faith, God-given faith. Some can receive so much by just grasping these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. But some of us struggle. And it is not in vain that we have a brother or sister to whom I can go, you can go, and you talk what is in your heart. You will not be condemned. Matter of fact, it is rejoicing in heaven and in the heart of one who can help you to look upon Him who came for us, to understand more fully, forsaking and reaching forward. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there is much about marriage. For it is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of sensuality, even as the Gentiles who know not God. How many of us, when we get married, I frankly say I am one of them, I knew very little about being a father or a husband. Very little. Whether my background feeds into it, God knows. I know now a little bit more. But time is short. Marriage is more than just flesh and its desires. First, indeed, it is like a river Jordan, perhaps, coming down the hill from Mount Hermon and so forth. Very turbulent. When it comes down from the Lake Galilee to Dead Sea, it is less turbulent. But then you look places like Mississippi River, Amazon, and other great rivers of the world. They are so vast and wide and calm. So is in marriage too. The natural desire for a woman ebbs a little bit, but the love increases when you walk with Jesus. Honoring, caring. On my part, at my age, a woman is most beautiful when she's expecting a child, and a husband that hovers round her, taking care of her needs, waiting for that little one to come. And of encounter, kill him. Word is not used as such, but the basic trust of the life of many is that we don't want it. It. These are the people that march today. And yet there's Christian love reaching. Marriage, procreation. Love of children. Love of one another. And when we even change in body, I have read someplace that they have ointment or salve that you can kind of cover your stretch marks. I don't know, nurses know what that is. I see one laughing here, kind of. Listen, those are marks of love and giving of self. When your husband has wrinkles and other blemishes, when he goes out with one black shoe, another one is brown, he hears about it when he comes home. But the one who makes a remark says, I love you. Love reaches where the water reaches, the water of life, the low places of the earth. We want mountaintops, and God brings us to valleys of life, with our hurts and shortcomings. The life of your youth has changed, but your love for her increases. Where your knight, your husband, robust and healthy, working, becomes disabled. A wife that seems to live longer, or wives that love their husbands, do not forsake when things reach that level. What a wonderful thing it is to learn these things, these miracle things in the teachings of Jesus. Teaching them to observe, returning back to 1 Thessalonians. So you possess, you men, your vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of sensuality, even as a Gentile who know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Now it goes to relationship to others. And that defrauding, if you understand it, is a key trust of a people who use people for their own gratification. They are defrauding them. They are robbing them from the future that God wants to give to them. I know a man who's a gay. How did he become a gay? He was a teenager and he was gang raped by men. His spirit was destroyed. He became a servant. Who am I to judge at times when I see people? But God says, you don't have to go there. Because that's not the way it was in the beginning. And if there's an argument against it, that man has not yet learned or heard what God has to say. But give time. Pray. But we don't want to compromise. The Word of God simply says, concerning marriage and others, don't take advantage of what is trusted to you. Now, concerning children. This is second time or part of the first time that this appears, but even so that Jesus is displeased when children are brought to him. That disciples would say, no. He's too busy. They don't understand. Think about the orphans. Think about the Sunday school. They are parents who know from their background many teachings of Christianity. They want their children to be part of it, but they themselves, without understanding it, are oftentimes destroying what is given in a church. Because children learn mostly by example. Here we teach, and a parent that doesn't have need for what is offered in a church, so to speak, undermines the life of a child and his future. But there are exceptions. Because the Word of God in Sunday school and amongst loving teachers still bears fruit. So each child is given as a gift to teach them where parents fail. But you look at various orphanages and things that have established to take care of the orphans. They are miraculous. That doesn't come from the world per se. It comes from a Christian hearts, teaching from above that human life, even at the smallest, has value. That life has soul. It has a future. Future to love and to serve. What about Christian homes? They are not always elevated. What is happening within its secure walls? There are fathers and mothers that gather the little ones around them and they point to Jesus. I'm not a salesperson, but I'm going to say catechism is good for parents and children. Basic teachings, what the Bible has. Commandments. We fail. Well, the answer is in creeds. What God has done, what Jesus has done, and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Learn to pray. Thy kingdom come. Life of a child is the most important. Marriage is important. And if these two things fail, we are reaping in a whirlwind of chaos and anarchy. What we are witnessing today is what mankind has shown. In midst of high learning and science, downplaying the role of a father and mother in home where they love each other, where their forgiveness and prayer, where a child is not looked as a thing, as one who is trusted, that there are hands to receive it. Hands to draw and feel the little hands, so they feel your face and want you to hear what they have to say. Unless you become like little children, I talk about this trust that is so open, it has no other strength except to receive what is child receiving. Because we are examples. And when you provide love and care and protection, child responds to that and grows in that atmosphere. Unless you become like little children. Children are dependent. And so is every Christian. I'm dependent of God. And He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. He wants to bring husband and wife together. And the children being taught that heavenly language why Jesus came. I'm going to close with a thought. I trust that you understand. Last I understand, October 4th was a day where school children could bring their Bible to school. Maybe this, what we may say, object lesson or demonstration or whatever. But bring your Bible to school. Teacher could ask, well, what is in the Bible that you like the most? A child from your home. So one tell, and there may be a child from Sunday school who says, I have learned Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that child may come from a broken home. Lord bless us. Jesus never fails. Never. It is imprinted in his hands and wounds. I love you this much. Give your burdens to me. Rejoice, rejoice evermore, for God is good. In his name, amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, by your mercies and by your invitation, increase this knowledge in our hearts that we would rejoice in the strength of your salvation, to know that you love us, and all things that happen in our life are for learning. But we are not to forsake when you treat us at times in a way we don't like, because you take us to the footsteps of Jesus, what he went through, encountering the people. And he loved them all. But he could not commit himself to those that would walk away from him. But he committed himself to those that wanted to hear more what he has to say. And you make our lives rich by your teachings. Blessed and praised be your name. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.